Hello and welcome to another episode of the Everyday Life Bible Study Podcast. I am Paul Church. I'm happy to be with you today, whatever you're doing, if you're driving, if you're running, if you're just doing chores around the house, or maybe if you have the kind of job where you can listen to podcasts at work, whatever you're doing, thanks for tuning in. I'm excited about today. This study's not what it was going to be. Originally, I was going to start, 3 or 4 weeks on the Sermon on the Mount. But I'm researching, and I am committed to delivering quality content to you, and it's just not coming together. There's a part of it that, man, I've read countless times. I've preached on this. I've heard sermons on this, yet there's something to it that I'm thinking, you know, God, what are you really saying to us? And so I'm still chewing on that. And so instead of bringing you the beginning of a mini-series of the Sermon on the Mount, I'm going to be talking about an unexpected storm, an episode that Jesus had when he crossed over with the disciples in a boat, crossed over the Sea of Galilee, and they encountered a storm. This is probably something that you're very, very familiar with as well. Hopefully today you could get something different out of this, something that you can take and apply to your life today, because that's the whole point of Bible study, isn't it? That when we read the Bible, when we listen to sermons, when we study on our own, that we say, Lord, let this change me. Let this make me somehow more like you today. So thanks for that. I want to encourage you to share this podcast on your social media outlets. Tell your friends and families and neighbors about it as well. If you want to post a link, even just a screenshot of it or whatever you want to do, but please get the word out on this. And also, if you're able to do this, I would really, really appreciate it. It's only going to take a minute, maybe two of your life, and that is go over to iTunes and find us, the everydaylifebiblestudy.com, and leave a positive review. If you like this podcast, if it's been a blessing to your life, if it's helped build your faith and all of these things, then please leave a good review there. 5 stars are always appreciated. So thanks for that. Well, let's get on with the study today. Mark chapter 4. Let's just dive in. Mark chapter 4, starting in verse 35, just a couple of verses for now. That day, he's been in Capernaum for a long time. He's been teaching the people for a long time. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. That day, the same day he shared the parables by the sea, the parable of the sower was one. There's a story of the lamp on the stand, the kingdom of God, how it's like a mustard seed. He had taught all day while sitting in a boat. Now it's evening, and he says, "Let's go to the other side." So they took him to the other side, just as he was, it says, let's read that to that now. I think I'm leaving some stuff out here. Just leaving the crowds behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. He was already sitting there. No time for a potty break. Didn't get out. Of course, I guess they're a bunch of guys, so the sea is their potty. But he said, "Let's go." So they went. So why did Jesus cross the lake? Sounds like the introduction to a lame joke. Last week, we talked about how... previously we talked about how he went from town to village, all over the place. But you see, on the other side, in the region of the Gerasenes, there was someone who needed him. He went all over the area, the region, proclaiming the word of God, teaching people. He was met by crowds all the time. He always had crowds around him. Man, he was somebody. He really was. But he wanted to go to the other side of the lake, because there was someone who needed him. And you can read about this in Mark chapter 5. What preacher wouldn't want to preach to a large crowd that hung on your every word? But you know, Jesus didn't come to be a celebrity. People certainly turned him into one, but Jesus came to seek and save the lost. You know, there's the story of after his resurrection, on the resurrection day, I heard Stephen Furtick talk about this once, that on the biggest day in the history of the planet, Jesus found two guys on a road and encouraged them. They had turned away and they were going home. But on the most important day of history, Jesus took time to catch up with two guys that we know nothing about. Now we see Jesus leaving a massive crowd that loved him, that hung on his every word. And man, church growth gurus today would say, that's who you want to hang out with. That's who you want to invest in. But Jesus was going on the other side of the lake because there was one guy who had a big problem. He was possessed by an entire legion of demons, it says, and he set this guy free. I'm not going to go into big detail about that one because we're going to really get into the storm today, but he set this guy free. If you read it, it's the only thing he did on the other side of the lake. I mean, after this, it says that he got back in the boat and went back to the other side where he had been again. Amazing. A lot of people feel, man, way too important to give attention to one person when the masses are in front of them. But this guy was a difficult case too, you know, much less turn aside from the crowds to somebody who, is very, I mean, a hard case, right? I mean, demon possession, not just one, not just 10, but an entire legion, the Bible says. Jesus left the people who loved him, the people who were just, I mean, they were listening to him, to minister freedom to someone in a bad situation who really wasn't waiting for Jesus. I want you to know, you're not too busy for him. You are important to him. There's a lot of important things going on in the world, isn't there? And you're one of them to God. Today, we're going to be talking about the storms of life, and I'm sure if I could sit down with you or see all of you together, I'm sure several of you would indicate that, man, the skies are black overhead. There's some storm clouds brewing. We've had some crazy weather this year, kind of fairly unseasonable, you know, and I've been outside, well, it's Colorado. Every state, every place that I've ever lived, and I've lived in a few different places, a few different states, they always say, well, if you don't like the weather, you know, stick around for 5 minutes because it'll change. That is never more true than in the state of Colorado, particularly along the Front Range of Colorado where I live. We've experienced four seasons in a day. And so, I mean, one of the easiest jobs, best job security jobs there is to be a meteorologist in Colorado. I mean, I think I could do this. Let the models, I'm sure there's a whole lot more to this, to it, because, you know, they go to schooling, there's all the stuff they have to know how to do, so I'm not belittling that. But, I mean, where else can you stand up the next day and say, well, you know, it didn't quite happen the way that we thought it would, let's move on, you know? But I've been outside when the weather suddenly changed. The breeze felt great, but the dark skies were taking over. And soon the breeze turned really cold, and you knew it was coming. Are you in that place right now? The skies overhead are churning, and you know, the junk is about to hit the fan. Maybe you're in the middle of a storm right now, and it's pouring and dumping on you now. Well, you're at the right place listening today. Jesus and his disciples crossed the lake and got in order to get to someone who was going through a metaphorical storm in their personal life. And on the way, they encountered a very real physical storm. And just like the parables he was telling by the sea are stories that illustrate a point, this episode in Jesus' life illustrates a very big point for us today. Quite an introduction, don't you think? So let's get on with the storm. I hope you're excited about what God is going to speak to you today in this podcast. I hope that this isn't something that just goes on. I hope it's more than just background noise to you, but that you're listening with expectation, with an excitement that God's going to speak to you today, particularly those of you who are coming into a stormy season right now. Are you expecting God to speak to you right now? Simply hearing the word of God, man, that can go in one ear and right out the other, but when we combine it with faith, believing that God wants to speak to us, you can be changed. So let's continue in our Mark 4 passage here. Mark chapter 4, starting in verse 37, a furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. Remember, it was evening when they started out. He had been preaching all day long. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" And they were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." So a furious squall came up. Literally, the word furious there literally means large and surprising. They were caught off guard, surprised by a large and unexpected storm. That's happened to me before. I was in the Grand Mesa and I was hunting, and man, I knew better than to go out without survival gear. But we'd been hunting all week. This is the Grand Mesa on the western slope of Colorado. Beautiful area, elk hunting, and it'd been beautiful weather all week, and I'd been carrying around all this extra weight of just survival gear because you never know what's going to happen. Large, unexpected storms can pop up, and up there, we're not just talking rain, we're talking, you know, snow, freezing rain, and things like that. So one day I decided, you know what, I've been carrying this stuff around all week. It's heavy. I'm gonna leave it at camp. And so I went out, and sure enough, wouldn't you know, a large, unexpected freezing rain turning to snow storm came up. And long story short, I got lost. I hate to admit this to you, but I was lost. It was unfamiliar territory. I had a GPS. I had a map. Long story. I know how to get to where I need to be in the mountains, in the woods, but I was still fairly new at it at that point. But man, I thought I was going to spend the night out there, and the temperatures were dropping rapidly. I didn't know what was going to happen. So, man, I've been in that position with a large unexpected storm. I've heard it read. I've read this passage here, and I've heard it preached many times that violent unexpected storms happen from time to time on the Sea of Galilee. Here in Colorado, we all know, as my story indicated, about unexpected weather. And as experienced as these professional fishermen were in their home waters, they didn't have the benefit of weather radar, okay, and a forecast. They got caught in an unexpected bad situation. They knew how to read the signs, but by the time they read it, they were already out in the deep water. So they got caught in an unexpected bad situation. And I'll tell you this, wasn't their fault. Have you ever been caught in an unexpected bad situation? Can you identify that? And it wasn't your fault. Not only was it not their fault, they might have thought that it was God's fault. After all, it was Jesus' idea to cross the lake when they did. They only crossed because he said, "Let's do it." They were following his directions. Have you ever found yourself in an unexpected bad situation that wasn't your fault, and honestly, you thought you were doing what God wanted you to do? Lord, I'm following you, so I don't understand why this is happening. Why am I in the storm? Why is things just falling apart here, you know? It's not that you were playing with fire and you got burned. You really felt like you were doing the right thing, and you got burned. I mean, the boat that they were in couldn't have been very small, okay? Not huge, but large enough to contain several grown men, a sleeping Jesus, and take on a lot of water, so much water that it says the boat was nearly swamped. The Greek word there for swamped is full, maximum capacity. And when that happens, the boat is no longer displacing water and it sinks. And they were at that point where we're going under. Maybe you've been there financially. Man, we're out of money. There's still a whole lot of month left to come. And the next month there's a lot more month left. And that seems like a long way away when you don't have money. But then you realize the next month is coming, and it's coming fast. God, I can't take another wave here. Any more water, and we're done for. One more wave breaking into this boat, and we're sinking. And somebody asks, "Where's the teacher?" Well, he's asleep in the back of the boat. Asleep at a time like this, how could he do that, right? Well, he'd had a long day, okay? Preaching all day, sat in the same boat, in the same position all day, teaching the people. You know, when I get home after one sermon, I'm exhausted, you know, so I totally get it. Lord, wake up. Don't you care if we drowned? Now, what were they expecting him to do, do you suppose? Later, they were amazed that he could calm the storm. So we know that they weren't thinking miracle at this time. They were absolutely, utterly confounded. You know, who is this guy? Even the winds and waves obey him. So they weren't expecting him to get up and rebuke the wind and speak to the waves. They wanted him to help bail water. Jesus, get to work, do something. I know you're a rabbi, and typically you don't do things like this, but, you know, if you don't, we're all going to die. Well, Jesus got up, but he didn't help them in the way that they were expecting. And the point, if you're taking mental notes or physical notes here, you might want to write this down. You know, one point is Jesus may not do what you're wanting him to do. You know, there's a few perspectives. There's a couple of perspectives here at play, the disciples' perspective and then Jesus. There's the disciples that said, you know, look, we need help. Help me to do what I'm already doing. Never mind that so far it's not been working. You know, just bless what I'm doing so that it will work. And that's what they wanted him to do. But Jesus did something different. We have this perspective. We have these thoughts that following Jesus must equal smooth sailing. That if I'm following him and I'm following his direction for my life and I really feel like I'm doing the right thing here, then that ought to equate to smooth sailing. And so when the storm comes up, we're like, God, I'm following you. What's the problem here? Don't dismiss this because this is real. We feel that life ought to be smooth sailing when we're in relationship with God through Jesus. Now, our theology and our belief system tells us that that's not true. You're agreeing with me right now that just because we're following Jesus doesn't mean smooth waters. But our experience and our practice says a different story. Because when we do experience trouble, we go off the rails. And we're like, God, where are you? God, why is this happening? God, I don't like this. God, get me out of this. And because even though we believe in our minds that, you know, just because I'm following Jesus doesn't mean that I'm not going to encounter trouble, when it actually happens, we don't know what to do with it. That's true. And you know it's true. We get mad when things get rough. We get mad at God. Maybe we start to question God, just like these disciples did, or we think we must be doing something wrong, all right? Because bad things don't happen to good people. Even though in our heads we know this, we haven't applied that truth to life experience. Look, he always leads us through life, but that doesn't mean we won't encounter hardship. They woke Jesus up. They rebuked him. Okay, but Jesus didn't rebuke them. He rebuked their circumstance. I'm sure he didn't like it any more than they did. Hey, I'm trying to get some sleep here. Be quiet, you know? And he wasn't talking to the disciples. He was talking to their fears. He was talking to the storm in their life. Maybe you're in a storm and you're fearful and you're thinking, one more wave and I'm done for. God, don't you care that I'm about to drown? And then we expect that God will rebuke us and smite us for some sort of a disrespectful tone. I can't talk like that about that way. God, I'm so sorry, you know, but when we're expressing our honest feelings, you know, is that any way to talk to the Almighty? But, you know, he knows your fears and he cares for you and he will rebuke that which causes fear in your life. So we have the disciples' perspective, our perspective, and then there's Jesus. Jesus' perspective, so good. Don't be afraid, just believe. After he rebuked the waves, that which had stirred up so much fear in their hearts, he turned to him, to them, and he just asked them, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? You see, the opposite of faith is fear. You know, I wish this read differently. I wish it would have played out differently. I wish it read something like this. You know, a furious squall came up. The waves broke over the boat. It was nearly swamped. But Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. So they calmed down because they knew they would get to the other side. I wish it read like that. You know, I wish my life read like that in situations that I find myself in here. But there's peace on the other side. There's growth on the other side of fear. There's victory on the other side of fear. A new level in your relationship with God is on the other side of fear. He brought them through the storm to increase their faith, to bring peace, to bring growth, to bring victory, to bring a new level of a relationship between them. Don't fear, but believe that he's going to get you to the other side. Sometimes he'll calm the storm, but I think most of the time, God really wants to calm you. Wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be fantastic if he got us out of everything like this? If he got us out of every storm like we want to, when we cry out to him, oh God, why is this happening? Wouldn't it be great if he just said, oh, I'm so sorry. Here, let me take care of that for you. And he just rebuked the storm that's going, rebuked the financial issue, rebuked the marital strife and a wayward child and relationship issues and health issues and all that kind of stuff. Wouldn't it be great if he just got us out of everything like this? If he rebuked every bad situation we go through, if he caused our rough waters to become smooth sailing. I think we know that's not how it goes, because he's more concerned about who we are on the inside than what's going on, what we're going through on the outside. Fear says, we're not going to make it through this. Faith says, Jesus is in the boat. You see the difference? You're still in it, but you can have faith in it. Jesus is in the boat. He's not left you. He's not forsaken you. God, I don't understand why this is happening. I don't like it. I want things to be different, and I'm doing everything I can for different things. But I believe that you're with me. I believe that you love me. I believe that you're here. I believe your word, and I'm not going to waver on that. So, Lord, I'm not going to give in to fear. It's a choice that we make here. You know, the disciples didn't even have to wake Jesus here. This has to do with our attitude through the storm, faith and peace. Fear and anxiety, they kind of go together. You know, some of you may be bound up so tightly with fear and anxiety, you don't know what to do with yourself. Do you know what else goes together? Faith and peace. Fear and anxiety are partners, and so are faith and peace. He was with them in the storm. If they'd had an attitude of faith, they would have survived. Jesus would have gotten a little more rest, you know. Do you think they were really going to drown here? They thought they were. And when we're in our own situations, we think we just might. This might just be the end. I'm going to have to, you know, take drastic measures, or we're just not going to make it here, you know. Do you really think the disciples were going to drown, though? He was with them. Defeat was impossible. Let me say that again. Only personalize it. Jesus is with you. Defeat is impossible. Do you see that? If they were all by themselves, we might think, well, they're not going to make it. But when we read the story from the outside looking in, we're like, well, Jesus is in the boat. Of course they're going to make it. It's going to be fine. Logically, you know, even with logic. But in our own life, we have trouble seeing that. My prayer is, God, increase our faith. Jesus asked the disciples, Why do you still not believe? Do you still have no faith? Why are you doubting here? And that's the same question he poses to us today. Do you have no faith? Now, luckily, it doesn't take a whole lot of faith. Jesus, one of the parables by the sea that he shared was about the faith of a mustard seed, that if it's that small, you know, then great things can happen, to sum it all up. But just that faith that says, Lord, I believe you. I believe that you're with me, and I'm holding on to that. And so, Lord, I'm replacing my fear and anxiety with faith and peace. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22, Paul wrote, it says, and God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church. Now, this isn't yet the time when Jesus walked on water, but the storm you're facing is under the feet of Jesus. And if you're walking with him, it's under your feet as well. Well, God bless you. This is probably a much shorter passage here, a much shorter study, I believe, than what we normally do, by about 5 minutes. But I hope it's been a blessing to you. I hope it's something that's causing you to think, causing your faith to grow and build you up. Whatever you're going through, listen, the Lord loves you. He's with you. You can take that to the bank. And my prayer for you is that fear and anxiety would be replaced with faith and peace. God bless you. Don't forget to share this podcast with friends, family, those on your social media profiles. God bless you, and may His word come alive in every day.